So our division is called DuPont Nutrition and Health, and we're doing various food ingredients. Two of our ingredients are derived from seaweed. One's called alginate, and that's derived from kelp. And we have a kelp or an alginate plant in Norway that includes about 10 boats harvesting kelp off the coast of Norway.
Alaska is probably way behind the curve in terms of this industry. Conversation is just getting started here, it seems like. But the rest of the world, this is big business. It's been going on a long time.
Yes, the seaweed industry is worth about $6 billion a year, and probably 90% of that is seaweed for food. That's farmed in Japan, South Korea, China, and it's the type of seaweeds you'll find at a Japanese restaurant. Our business is hydrocolloids, gum. These are gums, thickeners, ingredients for food and pharmaceutical. And, you're looking at, 8% of that $6 billion. But they are old industries. You know, carrageenan started in Scituate, Massachusetts in 1847. It was used, in homes in Ireland for hundreds of years prior to that. And the alginate industry started in San Diego, California, and I think it was like 1927.
We talked about your professional background. Your company is not looking at Alaska and coming into Petersburg or anything. You're giving this talk to give some perspective on the global market.
Yeah, I just I've been observing that you've seen reports on the kelp farms started in Southeast and Kodiak over the last couple of years. I think there's some local people in Juneau and Sitka who've been producing products from bull kelp. And I just thought the people of Petersburg might be interested in some perspective, the global seaweed industry and, the potential for Alaska.
Alaska has the conditions that kelp grows naturally and it's plentiful here.
Yeah, that's true. The question is, of course, what would be the market? What would be the product? And what about the regulations around ocean harvesting of wild beds and of cultivation?
And the challenge for any resource extraction in Alaska, getting a product to market competitively.
There you go.
Right?
I mean, that's always the challenge for Alaska, is the logistics and the cost.
What other hurdles do you see in the industry coming in here? Is ocean acidification playing a role or being a challenge for the industry?
Yeah, interestingly, actually seaweed, without getting too scientific here, most kelp, most seaweeds will do fine. And actually, as they grow, they improve the ocean acidification issue. That's why actually people use that as a reason to fund more kelp farming. There's a project in Puget Sound right now funded by the Paul Allen Foundation, growing a kelp in Hood Canal, and they want to decrease the acidity of Puget Sound.
Does kelp take CO2 out of water?
Or? Yeah. So in the ocean, if we look at water chemistry, it's actually not CO2. Okay. It's going to be bicarbonate, and that's how you get the acidity, more H ions than HCO3. So when the kelp is photosynthesizing, it's going to be improving that chemistry and reducing the acidity.
Sea otters is an issue here in Southeast Alaska. How did they play into the kelp and the urchin picture and others that eat?
So we can imagine that actually urchins are the enemy of kelp because they're eating at the holdfast, and then you lose, whether it's Macrocystis, the giant kelp, or bull kelp, Nereocystis, and some others. And of course, if the otters are eating up all the sea urchins, better for the kelp. But, like any natural system, it's a balance. In Norway, they had a big issue with sea urchins sort of migrating down from the north, and they created urchin barrens over hundreds of kilometers of the Norwegian coast. They don't have sea otters there. They usually rely on perhaps lobsters and some fish to eat the urchins. Eventually, the urchins stopped and somehow migrated back north. This is a process that went on from the 1960s until now. And those kelp forests have come back very strong.